Hello and welcome to Scholars Speak, a podcast from the Mitchell Institute, in which we catch up with Mitchell scholars far and wide to hear their stories. Thank you for joining me, your host, Michelle Martin, the 1999 Mitchell Scholar from Scarborough High School, for today's episode of Scholars Speak. And now let's get to it. We're thrilled today to have Brian Harris as our guest on the podcast. I am very personally excited about this. I saw you, Brian, speak and actually perform at a Mile 2 event a few years back. For those who don't know, Mile 2 is a personal and professional development day that the Mitchell Institute puts on for current scholars and alumni. And it's really structured around learning all the things that maybe you aren't learning in school about networking and resume building and all kinds of things. And inspirational speeches are a big part of that. And Brian, I know you spoke there, so I was really inspired by what you had to share, and we're excited to hear more about your story.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle. It's always an honor to be a part of and associated with the Mitchell Institute, and especially to do this. So I appreciate you having me.
Happy to have you. So why don't we start, where did you grow up and where did you go to high school, sort of your beginnings of your main journey?
Yeah, I grew up in the big city of West Enfield, Maine, graduated from Penobscot Valley High School. I had about 45 kids in my graduating class, and that was consisting of 9 towns and about 35 square miles around the city, or around the school. So quite a small place to grow up, but I think that's much of Maine student experience.
When you were in school, do you remember having a favorite subject or something you were really interested in or excelling at then that might even be showing up for you now?
Yeah, I think a common through line throughout my growing up was always music. Obviously, it's a big part of my profession today. Ironically enough, when I was in elementary school, getting towards middle school and high school, I always knew that music was going to be a big part of my life, but I didn't know how, because I knew that music education was not for me and not the path I wanted to take. But I also knew that the performance route, while exciting, was maybe not as compelling for me to pursue full time. And so I didn't know what that meant, but music was certainly the dominant, I would say, passion in my life growing up.
I hate to keep people waiting to hear how that is now showing up, because it is such an amazing story and you are doing incredibly meaningful work. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about, you know, what you're currently doing and how all of that interest translates today.
Yeah, so I went to school at the University of Maine. I majored in psychology and minored in music. I got a master's degree in music therapy just outside of Boston. And I'm now a board certified music therapist, which you could think of that much like a physical therapist or an occupational therapist, except our medium for treating patients is through music. And specifically for me, my passion has always been the neuroscience of music. And so I now have advanced training in the neuroscience of music and how that can be clinically applied to help people recover from neurologic disease and injury. So helping people that may have strokes or Parkinson's disease or multiple sclerosis improve functioning. So improving things like movement or language or cognition following any sort of neurodisease or injury. And that has translated into a company now called MedRhythms, where we treat patients with those neurodisease and injuries. And we're also building a medical device. We call them actually digital therapeutics. So they're software, hardware combinations focused on and based upon the neuroscience of music, specifically how rhythm can activate the motor system of the human brain and help people walk again.
That's incredible. Can you tell us more about how you start a company? I think, you know, the passion piece is very clear, but then there's all of these logistics around how you actually get it off the ground. Any big surprises for you in that process?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of big surprises to me along the way here. And I'll say that when I was a clinician treating patients at Spaulding Rehab Hospital in Boston, and the start of MedRhythms or the start of entrepreneurship to me was really much more of a drive or a calling or responsibility that I had, because I was seeing that patients were getting better all the time as we were treating patients with live music interventions. And so I saw this huge need for the work that we were doing in the hospital. And I saw that we had an answer to that need in the work that we were doing through these approaches to music therapy. And so when I saw the need and I saw the answer, I felt like I had a responsibility to do something about it. And so that was really my drive from day one to start MedRhythms, was really trying to figure out how could we bring this to more people, and with the feeling that if I didn't do it, then who was going to? And that's sort of, I think, the very strong pull and the very strong responsibility that I feel to this day to see this through. However, when I started MedRhythms, I didn't know how to start a company. I didn't know anything about entrepreneurship, but I knew that I was passionate and there wouldn't be anybody that would work harder than me to try to figure it out. And so I think as people are thinking about these things, about maybe wanting to start a company, the biggest thing that I can tell people is just to take action and do something, right? Just to be willing to take the first steps forward, and you will do things wrong, but you can learn from them as you go, but you can't learn from decisions you don't make. And so it's really important to make a decision and try.
Sometimes that first step is the hardest one to make, I imagine, especially in entrepreneurship. And then things just start moving in whatever direction they do, but it's really just kind of taking the leap, which is important. That is, it's a wonder I had as well, kind of connected to that for you as Mitchell scholars and alumni and others are listening to this. You know, what might be like your top one or two pieces of advice for somebody that is either just entering college or just kind of coming out of college and trying to figure out where they're headed?
Yeah, I think there's, two things that I think about a lot, even in my own journey, which is people always tell you growing up, and there's always those inspirational speeches that, you know, you can do whatever you want to do and you can be whatever you want to be. And I think that that's true. But I think the most important part is that you have to believe that yourself. So you have to believe that you can be the one that can be making the change in the world that you want to see, or that you can become the person that you want to be, the professional you want to be, which requires some work on yourself to believe that that is true and to take action. And the number two is surround yourself with people who are better than you. And that was actually a piece of advice that I was given early on in my career about surrounding yourselves with people who are better than you in some aspect of your life. I mean, I can tell you from my college days at the University of Maine, I was really blessed to be surrounded by just incredible people that were better than me in a lot of ways. And everything that we've done at MedRhythms thus far, from our co-founder, Owen McCarthy, who's just an incredible human being, to really a lot of the people that we've hired on our team to date, to the people that advised us, my mentors, really building a network. And I don't like to use the word networking because it's really, that feels flat to me. It also feels a lot one-sided, but really building an ecosystem and relationships with diverse individuals is really the key to success, the way that I see it.
I always think about that as, you know, surrounding yourself with people that are going to push you to level up, as I like to say, and not just kind of let you be in the place of comfort that you're in. And I wondered about the Mitchell Institute for you. How have you sort of intersected with the organization after the scholarship and after graduating from college? I know that there's always kind of a built-in network there, and wondered how you've tapped into that.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I have a number of friends, good close friends, who are Mitchell scholars as well, who I would say are engaged and also big parts of the Mitchell Institute as well. And from there, one of the big moments for me too, even as it relates to the Mitchell Institute, is I also got the fellowship award when I was in grad school. And why that was so meaningful for me is the fellowship actually helped me to pay for an unpaid internship while I was in grad school. That unpaid internship was at Spalding Rehab Hospital, where they didn't at the time have a music therapist on staff. Because of that internship, I became the first music therapist at the hospital. They created a position, hired me to do it. And because of that position, was really the stepping stone to starting MedRhythms. And so as we look back, I mean, it's been an incredibly influential aspect of my life, both from college to pay for college, the fellowship, and then the connections that I've had to other Mitchell scholars throughout has really been a big part of my life.
That's great to hear. Very much the same for me. So I can appreciate that. And when you were thinking about going to college, you know, back then, was there somebody or something that was really instrumental to you in making that choice? Do you remember that time?
Yeah, it's interesting for me to look back on that, because where I grew up, not a lot of people go to college. There are some people that go to particularly four-year degree colleges. And I can tell you from the moment that I even thought about college, I never knew that college was not an option for me. And that's really due to my parents, I think, in guiding me from very early age that college was going to be the path. But also, and I applaud them for that, because neither one of them are college educated, but they knew for me that that was going to be the path that set me up to be successful in my life and the path that I chose. And so I really give a lot of my credit in terms of that pathway to them.
Yep, our parents, those are the ones. I remember my dad is the one who walked in physically to the office of the Mitchell Institute way back then and picked up a paper application for me. He had seen it in the print newspaper, you know, way back, all these things. And, you know, he's the reason why I ended up doing the scholarship application and going to college too. So I get that.
Yeah, a very similar story here.
And I'll say the, you know, guests that are listening to this can't see that you are sitting in your office in Portland, an office that you were sharing with me before we jumped on, that you are growing and you have a growing team. So you're clearly giving back a lot, not only to the state of Maine, but of course, that goes well beyond to the rest of the world in the type of work that you're doing. So very exciting to see that too.
Well, thanks a lot. It's exciting to be in Maine and to be able to do this work from here. So, and an honor to be doing it from here as well.
Well, we always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. So a little bit of a few surprise questions for you that are very quick. So I'm going to give you three words, one at a time. And if you can just say the first thing that comes to mind when I say those things. Scholarship.
Academics.
Education.
Important.
Maine.
Amazing.
Agreed. Wonderful. Well, a lot of pressure, but not too tough. We are just so glad that you were willing to come on and speak with us. Your story is one that I know everybody at the Mitchell Institute and the entire network beyond that is so proud of and excited about. And we're all here to support your success going forward. So thanks a lot for sharing with us and coming on the podcast.
Well, thank you, Michelle, for having me. It's an honor to be here and an honor, as I said at the beginning, to be associated with the Mitchell Institute. And I'm very grateful for what the Institute has done for me in my college and professional career to date and what it continues to do for the youth of the state of Maine, because it's really important what's going on there. So thank you for having me.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of Scholars Speak. If you're interested in learning more about the Mitchell Institute, you can visit www.mitchellinstitute.org. Or follow along on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.